Welcome to the Villain Edit Election Day Special. We're going to cover all the results. We're going to go precinct by precinct. We're going to count votes. We're going to... You're looking at me oddly.
Well, it's not an election night.
Interesting.
And I think what we're actually going to do is sit on a couch with a little dog.
You don't know when people are listening to this, first of all.
Okay, well, if you're listening on election night, you're going to be very disappointed when we fail to go precinct by precinct to count the votes.
If they're listening on election night, they're going to be super excited because they are the only people listening on the right night. Because it's the election night special.
Welcome to our election night special.
I'm Monty Ashley.
I'm Rias Hall.
How you doing, Rias?
I'm okay.
So what we're actually going to do is talk about RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay. But
before we do that, I wanted to briefly discuss with you the Holiday Gingerbread Showdown.
All right. Let's get into this, because this show...
Now... One thing I constantly complain about is that I want shows to give people long enough to do impressive work.
Right.
Like on Project Runway, they're always saying, this is a one-day challenge, and that means people end up sending stuff with hot glue onto the runway, and it's awful. Why don't they give them 2 days, I say? Well, Holiday Gingerbread Showdown lets people work at home for 2 weeks ahead of showing up.
Exactly. They gotta pack their baked-up gingerbread... They pack their baked-up gingerbread into some kind of suitcase. They unpack it at the show, and then they commence to gluing it together and decorating it.
Yeah. Now, there is still stuff to do, because apparently gingerbread doesn't ship perfectly well, and stuff inevitably breaks. But still, they do a lot of work ahead of time, to where the camera crews just come around to people's houses and watch them do the decorating there.
Yes. But weird things happen to gingerbread in flight. Sometimes it expands, sometimes it contracts, somebody's walls don't fit together all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's a big point of drama, is my walls are a quarter inch apart, and now what am I going to do?
Royal icing.
And gum paste. Gum paste is everywhere on these shows all of a sudden. I don't care for it. Too much gum paste, I say. I like it less than fondant, because it is clearly even more just modeling clay that's technically edible.
Yeah, pretty much. Gum paste is gross. I like fondant less than gum paste. But I think they're pretty much the same thing. Also, modeling chocolate.
Yeah.
Modeling chocolate, I think, is probably what they make those wax Halloween lips out of.
Mmm.
Except chocolate flavored. That's how I imagine modeling chocolate.
Between those and the edible paints and edible papers they have now... There's a lot of things that they are allowed to use that are technically food, or at least technically edible, that all kind of seems like cheating to me.
Yeah, what's that fake sugar stuff they're using?
Isomalt. That's everywhere.
Isomalt might be edible, but you don't want to eat something called isomalt. I've seen an isopod. I wouldn't want to eat one of those. They're like a giant potato bug, lives in the ocean.
I will say that the name Holiday Gingerbread Showdown is dumb, because the holidays are the only time anyone cares about gingerbread. There's no non-holiday gingerbread showdown to compare it with.
That's true.
Everyone on this show is an amazing decorator. Like, if these people's piping skills are amazing.
Right, they're all great decorators, and if they were in their house trying to put together a gingerbread house, they would do amazing work.
But we've seen two episodes, and mostly what happens is two people's stuff breaks so hard and so late that they can't fix it fast enough, and it comes out looking messy, and one person does a great, perfect job, and they win.
Yeah, that's what seems to have happened. Like, the one that we watched just a few minutes ago was themed on the movie Elf.
Very themed on the movie Elf. They were told to do Elf. They were told to talk about how much they love Elf. We saw clips from Elf.
Yeah.
Very elf-y.
A little too elf-y. But that is neither here nor there.
The person who won did an amazing, perfect job.
And the other two people... Well, one of the people was a tech guy, and he tried way too hard.
Yeah, he spent more time on the servo motors to make his little modeling clay... Excuse me, gum paste penguins dance.
Yeah, than he did on constructing a building that was in any way interesting.
Yeah.
It was basically a box that opened and looked dancing penguins. And
the inside was okay, and it was a neat reveal.
But it wasn't finished in any way.
Yeah, from the outside, it was just a
box.
So I think I'm probably done with the holiday gingerbread showdown. I'm getting overloaded on all of these holiday cooking shows I was watching.
It's true, because we were also watching the holiday baking challenge.
Yeah, and that's the one just like the Halloween baking challenge. And
right, you got three people.
A couple of the same judges and everything.
Yeah. And it's the one where they only get like a limited amount of time, and then in the middle of it, they suddenly have to incorporate Captain Crunch cereal for some reason.
Don't forget, you have to add 2 drops of anise to everything.
Or, yeah, something like that. They're always, like, bringing in a surprise ingredient, which, again, I don't like. I don't want to see a show where someone bakes something amazing, like that Christine McConnell show. I know that I can never bake an awesome gingerbread house like that. We all know what happened at the time.
Yeah. We had to move out of that apartment entirely.
We did. It turns out that when you're trying to make icing and you turn an electric mixer on in a bowl full of powdered sugar,
you really want to start it on low and then work up high.
Yeah, you want to start to mix it together with a spoon first. You never just stick a mixer in a bowl of powdered sugar, because then you have created a bomb.
But now watch this segue. This is a great segue.
All right, I'm braced.
We were informed on Twitter by @Cindy_Clausen, whose name is Clausen Cookies and is a maker of sugar cookies.
Oh, I love sugar cookies.
That we should be aware of the new season of Project Runway that's going to premiere January 2nd.
Why is a cookie maker telling me about Project Runway? Do they have a cookie-based challenge? Do they have to make dresses out of gingerbread?
I think it's just a... I think she probably just likes Project Runway.
Okay.
Anyway, this is an all-winner season where half of the winners have won Project Runway and the other half won worldwide versions. So,
all right, so like Project Runway Chile.
Yeah, like we won't know all of them, but they will all have been through the gauntlet. So I'm really interested in that one.
Yeah, that sounds really fun.
So we're looking forward to that. Starts January 2nd.
We are kind of looking forward to anything because, honestly, we are out of shows right now.
Yeah.
We found ourselves watching an interior design challenge earlier tonight.
The one on Netflix. It's British.
I kind of like it. But it's terrifying to watch interior design shows because people have to live with the crazy stuff you've done to their house, designers.
Yeah, I always identify way more with the owners of the houses than with the designers. Like, I don't care whether you think it's boring. Give them what they want. They have to live in this house.
Right. So that's our opinion on that show.
Yeah. Now on to RuPaul's Drag Race.
All Stars!
There's some sort of holiday thing next week. I haven't looked at it. I just want to be delightfully surprised. It's a one-off episode.
Well, I'm willing to watch it. I'm not sure if I'll be delighted or surprised.
But then after that, All-Star Season 4 starts. And we have done some research. And we have opinions.
I've seen a couple trailers for the new season of Dragula. Don't know when it's coming, but I am waiting.
I've made my list of what order I think they're going to finish in All-Stars Season 4.
Oh, I haven't. I've just made a list of who's in Season 4.
So,
who I think was brought in to fight with who.
So you want to go through this? You want to talk about the contestants?
I'm ready.
All right. Where do you want to start? Who you got first?
My first person I have is Pheromone.
Pheromone was in Season 9. That's the season Sasha Velour won. And Farrah finished 8th out of 14, so kind of middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack. And I feel, and her and Trinity Taylor are the only Caucasian contestants.
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome, but I also think it's an immediate reaction to a lot of the criticism RuPaul was getting for treating the white queens better and differently. So I'm glad to see that they did that. I think that might be why they did an All-Star season and pushed it out after the end of the last season. I think that's what's going on there. I feel like Pheromone has been brought in specifically to fight with Trinity Taylor. Trinity, as you might... Trinity Taylor no longer goes by Trinity Taylor. Her new drag name is Trinity the Tuck. You may remember her as the person that doesn't wear padding because she has so many implants. She does a lot of things for her personal brand. Is known as The Body.
Trinity Taylor was also season 9. That's the Sasha Velour season. Finished tied for 3rd. So a very high finisher, but not one that I remember very well.
I don't remember. I remember her. She had a feud with someone else who was also a pageant queen. The reason I think that she's kind of paired with to be the foil of Pheromone is because they both have had a lot of plastic surgery. I don't know if that's a thing, but I worry about them. I don't think it's safe.
I would like to jump, if we're talking about these queens in pairs, to Latrice Royale and Manila Luzon.
All right.
They were paired in All-Star Season 1.
That's true.
They went out tied for 7th. I'm 7th and 8th. And originally, Manila Luzon came 2nd in Season 3, losing to Raja. And losing to Raja is no shame.
Yeah, Raja was amazing. Amazing.
Latrice finished 4th in Season 4. And that was an amazing top four. The winner was Sharon Needles, and then also Chad Michaels was in the top four,
yeah.
And Fifi O'Hara, who is not my favorite, but was an amazing villain and had to be in the top four to keep up the drama with Sharon.
Right.
And I have got Latrice winning this season.
In my heart, I want Latrice to win this season. I don't know if she will, but I love Latrice so much, I cannot bring myself to not have her winning.
I would object to people doubling up on All-Star seasons, except Latrice needs a win. Latrice didn't win All-Stars because Chad won, and I'm not complaining about that. Chad is great, but Latrice is also great.
Right, and I've heard that in between seasons, Latrice has kind of built a career as a manager for drag queens, booking shows and doing that kind of stuff for them. So, good for her.
Now, Manila Luzon, I think, is great.
Manila is crazy as a loon?
Yeah. A real edge of weirdness to everything Manila does.
Yeah. It's
okay. How about Naomi Smalls? Naomi Smalls was season 8. Finished season 8. Finished tied for 2nd. That top 3 was Kim Chi, Naomi Smalls, and Bob the Drag Queen. Naomi has very long legs and...
Without heels, Naomi Smalls is 7 feet tall.
That can't be true.
I don't know. I've got a cousin that's 7 feet tall.
I'm not saying there aren't people that are 7 feet tall. I just don't think that particular...
You think that number's like a pro wrestling number?
Yes, I do. I don't think Naomi is from parts unknown. I don't think she's 7 feet tall. But Naomi's very talented. But unfortunately, again, I'm just going with what I remember of that season. I remember Kim Chi and Kim Chi's journey and Kim Chi's final number. I don't remember what Naomi was like.
All I remember about Naomi was that
like, I know what she looks like, but that's
was
it.
Adopted by a woman who adopted 10 other children, all of different races, and that she really loves her mom. I can't remember much else about her, so I got on the Drag Race Wikipedia thing. I couldn't, and that did not even stir my memory much. Other than that, she's tall.
Further down the list, we got Monet Exchange, who, of course, we all remember as being incredibly entertaining on the most recent season, which Aquaria won. Monet Exchange finished 6th, which seems so low. I'm hoping for better
this
time.
No, I agree, because Monet is incredibly talented, super funny. I would like to see her in the top 3 with Latrice and Manila.
My top 3, I am predicting, is Latrice, Monet, and Valentina. I have Manila 4.
Oh, Valentina's a threat.
Valentina is gorgeous, was eliminated fairly for basically refusing to learn the lip sync.
Has been filling in time between seasons, performing professionally in Rent.
Love that.
So performance skills are going to be way up from what they were when she was just starting drag, which she was the youngest drag queen in her season and had only been doing drag for a few months.
And the impression I got from Valentina during her Drag Race run was all look, very polished, but apparently she won the club version of Dragula,
which is totally bizarre to me.
Yeah, there's got to be some filth going on.
Dragula is definitely filth and glamour, and there's not much filth on Drag Race, which is a damn shame if you ask me.
So there's going to be some filth somewhere in Valentina, and I'm hoping it comes out. May have some depth. We're getting down. I sort of sorted these by original finish. So
I didn't sort mine at all. I just wrote them down in order. Oh, no, I think mine are alphabetical.
Oh, nice.
Well, now we've talked about Valentina.
So what we've got left is Monique Hart, Pheromone, Gia Gunn, and Jasmine Masters.
And honestly, I know very little about... I can't remember much. They're all not particularly memorable.
That's because they finished 8th, 8th, 10th, and 12th.
Right, so we only saw them for a couple episodes.
Jasmine Masters finished 12th out of 14 on season 7, which, no offense to Violet Tchotchke, I feel was kind of a weak season to begin with.
Yeah, so I do too.
There's not much to go on there.
Monique Hart, we're talking about Monique Hart, right?
Monique Hart, sure.
I remember that she has vitiligo, but her makeup is so heavy you don't know. And I seem to remember liking her. Was she on the same season as Monet Exchange?
Monique Hart was on season 10. Monet Exchange was on season 10. So yes, they were both on season 10.
I liked Monique.
Okay.
I remember liking her. I thought she was funny. I don't think she's going to win, but yeah, I remember her and Monet Exchange because they look very similar.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Gia Gunn is trans. I'm afraid that's all I remember about Gia Gunn.
Gia Gunn is Asian.
Okay.
I think she might be the only Asian contestant. No, what am I thinking
about? Unfortunately, we have not written down the races of all the contestants.
Manila Luzon is also...
Oh, yeah, she's Filipino, obviously.
So, Gia Gunn is a trans activist. She also competed in RuPaul's Drag Race, the Chilean edition.
That's interesting. I didn't know there was a Chilean edition. Oh, sidebar. Next year, there's going to be Drag Race UK edition, which I'm super excited for, because I want to see what RuPaul-style drag is like in the UK.
There's some gorgeous stuff out there. I follow a drag queen on Instagram called Cheddar Gorgeous. What an amazing creature. Check it out. that was a plug.
Okay.
Let's see. We got...
And Jasmine Masters. You said has been... immediately upon leaving the show, started complaining about the effect of the show.
I'm not done with Gia Gunn.
Oh, sorry. Go for it.
Gia Gunn also is very outspoken about what she likes and does not like in drag. She was furious at Milk. She says she hates messy, cheap, and manly queens. And I think that's kind of judgy.
Well, it's explicitly judgy. She's judging them to be judgy. Bad.
And I don't think that messy, cheap, and manly are necessarily bad if you play them off right.
I mean, I like messy.
Yeah, but again, we're getting into Boulay Brothers territory.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's why I referred to RuPaul-style drag, because there's a certain type of very polished, ballroom-ready, runway-ready look that I don't think is actually necessary in drag.
No, but you get penalized if you don't have it. Like, that's one of the things that happened to the Vixen.
Yeah.
Was her drag was all homemade out of craft foam.
Incidentally.
And that was her thing.
Incidentally, another side note. This last week, I happened to rewatch Paris is Burning. The show Pose really overstates how much of ballroom, how much of ball culture was about gorgeous gowns.
Oh, yeah. A lot of ball culture was just about random stuff. Like bring your business realness.
Can you look like a straight man? Can you look like a young, tough punk?
Do touch on that.
They do, but it's clear that to pose...
to the show.
All that matters is there's the gorgeous gowns, and then some other categories.
And the beautiful women.
Yeah. Sorry, I just wanted to throw that out there. Because, by the way, Paris is Burning on Netflix right now. If you haven't seen it, you really should.
Yeah, if you're listening to a podcast and we're talking about Drag Race and you haven't seen Paris is Burning, get on that.
Yeah, come on.
Let's see what else we got. Looks like I got a Jasmine Masters. Jasmine Masters has, after being on the show, has come out and said that she feels Drag Race has negatively affected drag in the drag, because by removing creativity and making everyone think they have to be a beautiful lady, I think.
It's possible.
And I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
I feel like mainstreaming drag has had some good effects.
But, yeah, there's almost certainly some homogenization.
But, some bad effects.
When people go to their local Hamburger Mary's, I guess there are local Hamburger Mary's.
We used to have one, but they went out of business. Oh.
Like, they are expecting this type of thing.
The drag scene in Seattle is pretty robust.
Yeah. I mean, personally, if I were at a Hamburger Mary's, the kind of drag show I want is, okay, you know the MC lady in Showgirls? I want that level of crassness.
Oh my God. That's some crassness.
Yeah.
I love that character. She is gross.
I think that catches us up, right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. That's our exciting preview of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star Season 4. And we will see you at the movies. Totes dyslex!
Totes dyslex!